Sir Anthony Hopkins has been knighted by Queen Elizabeth and has played Richard I, Richard Nixon, monarchs, statesmen, geniuses, and heroes, and of course, one of the most notorious movie villains of history.
Good evening, Clarice.
Hannibal Lecter. The criminal mastermind who, let's just put it this way, does not catch and release his prey, all while Bach plays on. Hannibal Lecter is making his own music now. The City of Birmingham Symphony Orchestra of England performed original classical music written by Anthony Hopkins last year in the United Kingdom. A recording of those live performances was recently released in the UK and rocketed to the tops of the charts. The album is called Composer. And Sir Anthony Hopkins joins us from our studios at NPR West. Sir Anthony, thanks so much for being with us.
Pleasure being here. Thank you.
You've been writing music for some time, I gather.
Yes, ever since I can remember. Well, certainly 50, 55 years. Improvising on piano and writing bits and pieces on manuscripts over the many, many years. You know, I just did it for the sheer fun of it. And my wife, Stella, she said, you should take this and write it and, you know, orchestrate it and get it performed by a major symphony orchestra. And I said, no. She said, well, why are you so dismissive of it? She said, do it. So I did.
Let's listen to a track from this new album, and this one is called The Plaza. Now, what's the story of this piece of music?
Well, it comes under the heading of 1947. All this music comes from my childhood. My father used to take me to the Plaza Cinema, and I used to see all those MGM musicals with Carmen Miranda and Harry James and Osea Turby, all those great musicals. And that was a lasting memory for me, all that kind of bright Technicolor.
You're growing up in Wales, and I gather piano was your entry to the arts.
It was. My mother bought a piano for £5, an old cottage piano, and I started music lessons. She, of course, wanted me to become a concert pianist, and I had different plans. I just wanted to be a composer. And I became an actor by default, really. I just got a scholarship to the Cardiff College of Music and Drama, hoping to take a scholarship in music, but ended up as an acting student, so I stuck with that for the last 50-odd years.
Mm. When do you think you wrote your first piece of music? Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember. It's 1955, and it's on there in another piece called Margam. Margam was the place I was born. And it's full of farmland and fields and woods, and there was a lake and the seashore. So it's very evocative of my memories.
This is a very lovely piece of music.
Thank you. There's some orchestra coming in a moment, I think.
Do I have this right that Richard Burton was nearby?
Richard Burton was born in a place called Pont de Venn up in the valleys and the coal mining valleys of Port Talbot. Margam is a little rural community outside Port Talbot. I never knew Richard Burton. I only went and asked him for his autograph.
That's what I've read. You were 15.
Yeah, I went to his house. He used to come back to Wales, and there was this great movie star, and he signed my autograph, and he said, do you speak Welsh? I said, no. He said, you're not a true Welshman. He was teasing him, but he scared me. And I remember thinking, I want to be like him. I just want to be famous. And I didn't know what to do because I wanted to escape from the desert of my own mental, whatever it was, emptiness. And so I became an actor.
to escape the desert of your own?
That's right.
Really?
Yes, I did, because, you know, I think when you're a boy or girl, whatever, at a certain age, when you become conscious that you are inadequate in school, which I was, you know, it's a lonely feeling, and you feel isolated and you feel bullied and all the rest of it. Well, I was pretty strong, so nobody bullied me, so I could look after myself, but I did feel isolated. And I look back on it all now as the greatest gift that I could have been given, because it forced me. It was the rocket fuel that sort of drove me to do something with my life. So I wanted to become famous in a way to have my revenge and all those people that laughed at me. Of course, they're all dead now. And here I am living in sunny California. So life and destiny are very peculiar. I think God, whatever God is, has got a great sense of humour. And here I'm composing at the age of 74, so...
Yeah.
I wrote this in 1964, in fact. I was walking across the fields up Bracken Road, and I heard this sort of music coming from a window. It was a memory that stayed with me. I wrote lyrics originally for this.
Do you remember them?
Do I mean nothing to you anymore? All the time in the world can never be time enough to change the course of things. That was the title, I think, and it's All the Time in the World Could Never Be Time Enough to Change the Course of Things. We may never meet again. Anyway, that's the lyric I had.
We may never meet again.
We may never meet again. We may never smile together.
Is there anything in your acting experience which serves you when you write music, in the sense that individual instruments seem to get spotlighted?
Well, it's the reverse, really. I use music when I'm learning lines. If I'm just working on a script, I'll put a CD on, whatever it is, really. And I don't play classics all the time. I love country best, and I love Dolly Parton, one of my favorites.
Dolly Parton?
Waylon Jennings, people like that. I love those guys.
Have you met Dolly Parton?
Yeah, I did meet her once at a party. Twice, in fact, I met her, and she was just terrific. Hi, how are you? she was just beautiful.
I wonder if she does an Anthony Hopkins impersonation. you're playing Alfred Hitchcock in a film that's coming out. I mean, I have to ask, does that begin with putting an enormous pillow under your belt?
Well, yes, I have one of those things. I'm not going to put on the weight for that. But he was a fascinating character, very complex man. And I actually met him once with my agent in a restaurant.
There in Los Angeles?
In Los Angeles, many years ago, about 1979. And because my agent knew him well, and he'd just been knighted at the time. And he said, "Sir Alfred." He said, "Hello, George, how are you? This is my client, Tony Hopkins. I'm charmed, I'm sure." he was just Alfred Hitchcock, sitting alone in this restaurant with a large glass of brandy and not looking too well, but a great personality. I'm so honored to have met him.
Let's return to your current album, though, if we could. We have The Waltz. The Waltz Goes On.
Yeah, I wrote this many years ago. I was in the theatre in Liverpool, the Liverpool Playhouse, and they had an old beat-up piano that I made this up. Somebody said, "You should do something with it." And then Andre Rieu, my wife, sent it as a half chance to see if he'd like to perform it, and I thought that was very courageous of her. She said, "Well, what can they do, put you in jail?" So I got a call from Andre Rieu, said, "Hey, I'd like to play you a piece of music." I said, "Oh, my God, it's about life goes on, whatever we do, we die, but the waltz goes on." That's the title of it.
Do people always come up to you with recipes for fava beans?
Yeah, sometimes they ask me to do that fava bean noise, you know. And I say, okay. But not so much now. I became rather resentful. I thought, well, is this all I'm going to be remembered for as Hannibal Lecter? But as the years gone by, I think, wow, it was a great part to play. I've done many other works since then.
Sir Anthony, a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Sir Anthony Hopkins speaking from NPR West, his new album, Composer. You can hear more from the album, Composer, and Sir Anthony Hopkins on his first, somewhat less stellar stint on the UK pop charts on NPR.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.